Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. This is Moray Isha of the House of Israel, Cincinnati. Tonight's show will be a rebroadcast of a panel discussion debate between Moray Elisha, myself, and two other teachers from Columbus, Ohio, held at Wilberforce University. This is a rebroadcast. Please, no callers. Thank you. Shalom.
Radio.
Two, yeah, but just in case I don't make it, tell them about Black Clyde Jacob. It goes cloud by day, fire by night. What the heathens know about Black Clyde? The books were open, the judges just in the right. What the heathens know about Black Clyde? Lucifer trying to sit high as a satellite. What the heathens know about Black Clyde? They say a big boom created all life. What the heathens know about Black Clyde? They try to change time, sell day in the night. What the heathens know about Black Clyde? They say y'all son is named J. Christ. What the heathens know about Black Clyde? The scriptures got us black, but the pictures paint us white. What the heathens know about Black Clyde? They took Israel and switched them to Ishmaelites. Now you know they don't know about Black Clyde.
Let's see what we can learn here. And we're going to see if this is the truth, because if it is the truth, it's consistent with the words of the Most High. Because that's how we learn what truth is.
His root is broken. He's in his university for some years. And I'm also proud to say that he is a proud member of New Zeta Epsilon Social Fellowship Incorporated and a proud man of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated. Ladies and gentlemen, may I introduce some and present the others, Reverend Richard Allen.
Okay. I'm glad some of you moved forward. I'm a closet teacher. I don't teach as my profession, but I'm a closet teacher. I don't like to scream, so the acoustics in this room are not perfect. If you can't hear the speakers, just move a little closer. I've spent two or three occasions with all of these gentlemen, they won't bite. So if you can't hear, come a little closer. As Mark said, this is just an open forum discussion. We're going to talk about faith and relationship. That's my take on our discussion. We have Moray Isha Israel. He is the teacher representing the House of Israel of Cincinnati. On my right, we have from the House of Israel, Columbus, Ohio, Rabbi Binyah and Rabbi Gerald. How many people believe in something? I ought to see everybody's hand. Some of y'all don't believe in anything. I'm not often afraid of people, but the man or woman who believes in nothing is a lost soul. That's just me. I'm going to let each person present themselves to you for about 5 minutes. They will let you know in depth who they are, who they represent, and how they see God and how they live out their faith. however you want to do it. If you want to sit and speak, if you want to stand and speak, it's up to you. I'm comfortable either way.
Shalom. First and foremost, I give all praises and honor unto the Almighty, whose name is Yahweh alone, by saying hallelujah. My name is Isha Israel. I'm the Moray of the House of Israel of Cincinnati. And I'm here to represent the Most High, whose name is Yahweh, on behalf of all the leaders and teachers in the House of Israel around the country, the organization that was established by the servant of the Creator, who was a teacher of the Word of the Most High for over 40 years. He was the founder of the congregation in which I'm out of, the House of Israel, Cincinnati. And he was a prophet of the Most High Yahweh, and his name was Moray Elisha Israel. And I give all praises to the mighty Yahweh for being here, because these conversations that were started years ago at Central State University began with Moray Elisha coming up here to Central State University and us having this dialogue. So I praise the mighty Yahweh for being able to be here to represent the Creator in his servant's stead. Hallelujah. And I'm also here on behalf and with my brothers and sisters from the House of Israel from all over the country. We have with us Moray Ishaya from the House of Israel of Raleigh, North Carolina. Shalom, hallelujah. We have with us also Moray Neftali from the House of Israel, Cincinnati. Hallelujah. So we're here to glorify the mighty Yahweh and to teach to you and all, you and everybody that is willing to listen the words of the Creator. Bring to you the truth of who is Israel, who is Yahweh, and what is the way that we must follow so that we may return to the Creator and obtain true salvation. We teach from the House of Israel very differently many of the teachings you've heard, and we're going to get into our differences and what is our differences that we teach and what we speak about in the name of the mighty Yahweh. We're going to hope that everybody is able to listen and hear and ask questions so that we may glorify the mighty Yahweh. But I don't want to take too much time in my introduction. I just want to say shalom and hallelujah.
All right. I'm Gerald Williams, rabbi, instructor, teacher. House of Israel, Ohio, and Columbus, located at 4601 East Broad Street in Whitehall. I definitely appreciate the invitation. I'm always excited to come around other brothers of the faith, share different concepts, different interesting perspectives. We teach a walk of the Torah. We teach and believe in salvation through Yeshua HaMashiach. We teach and believe that our walk is a separation from the world. We teach that we need to be disconnected, ripped from the world. We may perceive or maybe be perceived by some to have hatred in our speech, but our hatred is for the world. We do make a distinction between Gentile and Hebrew. We do make a distinction between Christian and Gentile. We make a distinction between Hebrew and Jew. We don't lump everybody into the same category. We don't believe that everyone should be in the same category. And I feel and we teach that Elohim is going to have elect people, and those are going to be his elect people, period. That's a piece of our faith, a piece of our doctrine, and I'm excited to be here, and I'm ready to mix it up. Shalom.
Shalom, everyone. Rabbi Binyah from House of Israel, Ohio, Columbus, Ohio, as well as one of the congregational leaders. I just want to say, you know, shalom. I definitely enjoy being here. Thanks for the invitation. I just love to just come in fellowship with a lot of different people, especially a lot of like-minded people, you know, so we can continue to grow, so we can continue to prosper and move forward, push forward in our walk with the Messiah, push forward in our walk with, you know, the Father, Yahweh. I just really appreciate, you know, the time that everybody took to even come out here. First and foremost, I'm more concerned about souls than anything. So out of all this, I just pray that, you know, Yahweh meet a soul where they need, you know, that throughout the discussion, throughout the debate, throughout whatever anybody's searching for, that the Father, Yahweh, will meet the need and see the need. I mean,
you have heard terms, God, Father, Yahweh, Yah. What do they mean? Okay, now. I come from a particular tradition. That tradition is call and response. I don't ask rhetorical questions. What do they mean? Anybody? I'm going to do something different than what we've been doing. So, anybody else?
We believe that Yahweh means he exists, the existing one. Now I'm outside of that.
Elohim means powers. He is the powers. He is the almighty.
Powers of power.
The powers of powers. Lord, lowercase, which you see in a lot of the Bibles, where it will be translated as Nazareth, Adonai. Master. He is the master. Or you might see a translation as Lord Baal. Multi deity. When we mention Yahweh, we mention Elohim, we want people to know that it's not just a God or some form of a God or a Lord, because there's many Lords than there's many gods. So when we say Yahweh, we say Elohim, we make it a personal
and the distinction. Anyone else?
Well, when we speak of Yahweh, we're speaking of the name of the Creator, the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Isaac, and the Elohim of Jacob. Yahweh is his name, and that is his memorial forever. That is written in the book of Exodus, the 3rd chapter, the 14th, the 15th, and 16th verses. You can find that information. Yahweh is the Most High, and he is also the Elohim, or what you know today is God of the children of Israel. So when we speak of Yahweh, we're speaking about the only one, the only Creator, the only Savior, the only Redeemer, the only Lawgiver, the only Judge of Israel and the entire world. Hallelujah.
Does it matter what you call God? Why? guess that means you agree. All right. What is the thing that distinguishes your personal relationship? You say you personalize your relationship when you say Yahweh. What is it that distinguishes? What makes that connection? How do you know that Yahweh is your God? Everybody familiar with the term Torah and Ruha?
Yes.
I like to make sure that everybody knows what we're talking about, because everybody hasn't studied the same thing at the same time. It's not about levels. It's about information being clear so that we know what it is that we're saying. Maura, you said that you had some extended things that you wanted to share.
Oh, yes. However you all would like to have a discussion go, but I did want to establish some things that we talked. So we can engage each other on the panel and establish who the Most High is. As I said, we do teach very differently from anybody else in the world, even though all of us here, it seems, and at least us on this panel, we both say the name of Yahweh. We both, and we all believe that we are the children of Israel, and that Yahweh has an elect seed. But we also, of the house of Israel, teach that Yahweh is the only Savior, and there is no other Savior besides Yahweh. If you look in the book, if you have your book of Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, and it reads in the 10th verse of Isaiah 43, "Ye are my witnesses, saith Yahweh, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he, that before me there was no Elohim form, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am Yahweh, and besides me there is no Savior." So this establishes that whoever else, anybody else, calls on for their Savior, Christ of the New Testament, or as some people call him, Yeshua, JC, Yehoshua, Yahweh Shai HaMashiach, whichever name you choose to utilize for the Christ of the New Testament, Yahweh is making a clear declaration in this scripture that Yahweh is the only Savior, and there is no Savior besides him. He also mentions this in the book of Hosea, in the 11th chapter. In Hosea, the 11th chapter, or the 13th chapter, excuse me, in the 4th verse, it states, "Yet I am Yahweh, thy Elohim, from the land of Egypt, and you shall know no other Elohim but me, for there is no Savior beside me."
Hallelujah. The Almighty said, let every truth be established by the mouth of two or more witnesses. And we have two witnesses here to establish that Yahweh is the only Savior. And we have more witnesses to establish that Yahweh is the only Savior. Hosea, the 13th chapter, the 4th verse. The point here is Yahweh has already stated he is the only Savior. Not JC, not Yeshua, not Yahawashai, not Haile Selassie, or anybody else. But Yahweh, that's the only Savior. And we teach this, and we stand on this, and we know it to be the truth. We also teach that there's a Messiah, but the Messiah that you know today and that the world has been tricked to know about, he's not the Messiah. The anointed of Yahweh, the leader and the commander of the people that Yahweh will send, is not Yeshua, is not JC. But truthfully, the name of the Messiah is David. We teach the name of the Messiah is David, and that David will be the king to return in the latter days to rule over the nation of Israel. You can find this information if you turn with me to the book of Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. And before we go there, let's go to the 34th chapter. We'll start reading at the 22nd verse, Ezekiel 34, verse 22. It reads, therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be afraid, and I will judge between cattle and cattle, and I will set up one shepherd over them. There's going to be one shepherd over Yah's people. And he shall feed them. Even my servant David shall feed them. He shall feed them. And he shall be their shepherd. And I, Yahweh, will be their Elohim. And my servant David, a prince among them. I, Yahweh, have spoken it. Hallelujah. And when Yahweh say he has spoken it, that's the stamp of approval. And we can also go to the book of Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. And we can begin reading in the 23rd verse. And it states here, neither shall they defile themselves anymore with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and cleanse them so they shall be my people, and I will be their Elohim. And David, my servant, shall be king over them. This does not say Yeshua, Yehoshua, J-C, J-E-S-U-S, Haile Selassie, or anybody else. This says David. In Hebrew, it says David or Daoud, whichever dialect you speak. But it doesn't say any of the names that we've been taught here in our captivity. But it says, in David, my servant, shall be king over them. And they shall, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgment, and observe my statutes, and do them. Hallelujah. So this is what Yahweh has revealed unto his servants. And this is what, and we still have more to bring out. But right now, we're going to pause here. But this is what we have been revealed to by the Creator. Who he is, and who our Savior is, and who his anointed leader is. And I challenge anybody to find throughout the Holy Scriptures, the Scriptures of Truth, which you commonly know as the Old Testament, where Yahweh called anybody else but himself, the Savior, anybody else but him, but David, the king that will reign over Israel. I challenge anybody to show me where Yahweh, out of the mouth of Yahweh, has mentioned Christ, Yeshua, JC, or whatever variant of the name you call the Christ is in the Testament. Where has Yahweh spoken to him? Where has Yahweh spoke about him? Where has Yahweh given him any laws, statutes, judgments, or commandments, or words to prophesy in his name at all? In any book, the New Testament or the Holy Scriptures, where did Yahweh speak to JC? Where did he speak to Yeshua? With that, I'll relinquish. Hallelujah.
I think that was good stuff. I think I got those verses. I think the Isaiah, the Hosea, the Ezekiel. The one thing that I do teach at House of Israel, Ohio, I don't know how you teach, Ray, but I know I teach at House of Israel, Ohio, that the finite, the foundation, the most substantial, any argument that you make, the provable point, needs to be the Torah. That's Genesis, Bereshit, Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. The first five books. This is the first five books. The book of the prophets is a book of interpretation. And to base any argument or even try to argue any point off a prophet book would be saying, I'm arguing your interpretation versus my interpretation, which makes the argument void. Because I could read the same prophecy, and I could give 10 prophecies, and 10 people could see 10 different things. But there's only one true foundation, one true word, and that's the Torah. I understand that Yahweh is the Redeemer. I represent Yahweh as Redeemer. Exodus chapter 20. I represent that there is none who brought you out of Mizraim. I am Yahweh your Elohim. I represent that. We teach that. We teach that as a point and pillar that we need to understand for salvation. We need to understand that. You know who our master is. If you don't understand who your master is first, then can you really say you're saved? We teach that. We don't go against it, we don't teach nothing else. But any argument to even refute your presentation or even the perspective coming out of prophet, I would need something from the Torah.
Okay. I'm glad you asked that, brother. We heard our brother Rabbi state that the foundation is the Torah. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, correct? Said that the book of prophets is strictly interpretation. That's what you said, right?
Yes, sir.
The book of prophets, he said, is strictly interpretation, and he needs something to argue out of the Torah. Well, let's go to the book of Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter. Now I'm still in the Torah. I want to make note that we're still in the Torah in the book of Deuteronomy. And I'm going to show where Yahweh gave us the law, the instruction, a statute to listen to every word that comes out of the prophet's mouth when he speaks in the name of Yahweh. Now, when we see this, we're going to realize that Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and all the other prophets of Yahweh were not speaking interpretation, but were speaking the word of Yah. In Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter, start reading in the 15th verse. In Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter, the 15th verse, it states here, Yahweh, your Elohim, will raise up to you a prophet from the midst of you, of your brethren. So what type of prophet are we going to have? a Gentile or Israelite. An Israelite. Like to me, this was Moses speaking. Like Moses, he was an Israelite. To him shall you hearken according to all that you desire of Yahweh your Elohim in Horeb. In the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of Yahweh my Elohim, neither let me see this great fire anymore, that I die not. So what are we seeing here? Moses is letting us know we asked for a prophet. We needed somebody to come speak to us because we were terrified of what Yahweh did in Horeb. And Yahweh said to me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them. Who's going to raise up a prophet? Yahweh said, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto you, Moses, and will put my words in his mouth. So the words you hear come out of this prophet, whose words are they? They're words of the interpretation of Isaiah? Or are they the words of Yahweh? They're the words of Yahweh. And he shall speak to them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken to my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. That means, if Ishah comes to you and says, thus saith Yah, he is the only Savior. Yahweh is the only Savior. As Isaiah said, Yahweh is the only Savior. As Hosea said, Yahweh is the only Savior. As Jeremiah and Moses said, Yahweh is the only Savior. If the prophet comes and speaks these words in my name, then you must listen to him. And you should not get up here and say that those are words of interpretation and I can't hear that. But you should listen to them because these are the words of Yahweh. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other deities, other gods, of Elohim, Yeshua, JC, Haile Selassie, the Islamic deity, the Nordic gods, whoever, if they speak in the name of another deity, even that prophet shall die. So, that's in the Torah. That's exactly what the brother asked. That's exactly what we gave him. Now I ask, can anybody show where Yahweh spoke to Yeshua in the Holy Scriptures or in the New Testament? Yeah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Everything he said is great. Do anyone have a strong truth? Yeah, it's true. It's true. You need to hold that. I got mine, but I want you to look up something for me. Look up, coming from Exodus, the Torah, Exodus 14:13. And Moshe said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of Yahweh. Hebrew Strong's 3:4:4:4. What that word, what that salvation is transliterated to in the Hebrew?
Glad he said that. Is that all?
Right.
You can look that up in your Strong's. What was it again? 3:4:4:4 in the Strong's Concordance. The Hebrew word for salvation is Yahshua, not Yehoshua, not Yeshua, not Yahawashai HaMashiach, but Yahshua. That is not
a, what you would call in English, a proper noun or a noun that represents a person. It's actually a verb. So it's not a name. It's actually an action. But nevertheless, we can also look to see some more salvation of Yahweh. Salvation of Yahweh is this. In the book of Jeremiah, the 30th chapter, the 7th verse, I'm going to read this and then I'm going to press upon my brothers once again, please answer my question. And I'll state the question again. Our brother stated earlier, who believes in something? Everybody raised their hand, right? So if you believe that Christ is the New Testament, the Mashiach of the New Testament, the Messiah of the New Testament, is the Savior, then please stand firm on your belief. And prove it. Show the scripture where Yahweh, the Elohim of all flesh, spoke to him, anointed him, commissioned him, said that he would be the Savior. Jeremiah, the 30th chapter, the 7th verse reads, alas, that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Yaakov's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. For it shall come to pass in that day, says Yahweh of hosts, that I will break his yoke. Did he say salvation will break his yoke? Did he say that? He said I. What type of grammatical word is I? What do you call that? That's a personal pronoun. Now, I'm sure these brothers speak of Hebrew, right? Is Yahshua a personal pronoun in Exodus 14 and 13, what he showed me? And is it a personal pronoun? It's a noun, so it's a noun. Is it a personal pronoun? It's a noun. So it's, a noun is a person, place, or a thing. So a person, place, or a thing. So the point being is, salvation can be a thing. And we also know that Yahweh said, I will break the yoke off of Israel's neck. Meaning, I personally, Yahweh, will break the yoke off of your neck and will burst your bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves in him. But they shall serve Yahweh. They're not going to serve Yeshua, because I'm about to show you where Yeshua told you who to serve. But they're not going to serve Yeshua. They're going to serve Yahweh. And who else? His name pops up again. Who else? David, their king, who Yahweh will raise up unto them. That's what the mouth of Yahweh has spoken. Now, before I move on, let's go and see what the mouth of Yeshua has spoken about who we shall look to for salvation. Let me read this. Well, since you all call him Yeshua, I'm calling him Yeshua. This is J-E-S-U-S, the Christ of the New Testament.
Who is that?
This is the Christ of the New... No, he's not a prophet. This is the Christ of the New Testament. Oh, you can state your opinion when I'm finished, brother. It'll be very polite if you do that. In the book of John, the 4th chapter, we're going to see who this Christ of the New Testament let the people know who they must go to. John, we're going to John, the 4th chapter. John, the 4th chapter, and we start reading at the 21st verse, and it states here, J.C. saith to her, woman, believe me, the hour comes
when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you know not what. For we know what we worship. So Christ included himself, didn't he? So letting you know that he worships somebody. So we shouldn't be bowing down, praying in the name of, saying that we come in the name of, or magnifying his name at all. Because he said he worships somebody else. Okay. I say JC, or the Christ of the New Testament, because the word J-E-S-U-S is the name of a false deity. It is the name of a Greek deity. Z-E-U-S is where it's founded in, and it's the name of this false deity that our people have been driven to serve in our captivity. And it is the law of Yahweh in the book of Exodus, the 23rd chapter, the 13th verse, that we shall not make mention of any other deities, neither bring them to mind, because Most High's name is Jealous.
I hear you say this. Say that they see the vastness, the difference of the name. I call my children, if you say chicken, might as well say M-H-I-T. They are the same in the common communication.
Yes, I understand your viewpoint, but truthfully, well, everything, that's a viewpoint, isn't it? That's the way you see it.
It's not the way I see it.
Well,
the way English is based.
Okay, I understand. The way English is based. But my point of the matter is, when you say that name, you're saying you're going against the law of Yahweh. And that's why we don't say J-E-S-U-S, and that's the law. When you say his name, you're saying his name. When you say J-C, you're not saying his name. Abbreviated. So let me finish reading here, please. John, the 4th chapter, when we were in the 22nd verse, it said, ye worship, you know not what, but we know what we worship. For salvation is of the Yehudim, or the Jews. Now, you see that word that was used? Salvation. Why did he say me? Why did he say me is of the Jews? If this is the same salvation that was spoken of in Exodus, the 14th chapter, the 13th verse. But he said salvation is of the Yehudim, the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is that the true worshipers shall worship the Father, not Christ, not Yeshua, not the J-E-S-U-S, but the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. So the Christ in the New Testament lets you know that you have to worship the Father, that you're not going to this Christ, that you're not worshiping this Yeshua, but you're worshiping Yahweh. That's who he wants you to go to. But I'm going to still ask this question because it hasn't been answered. They throw questions at me left and right. But they haven't answered not one question, and I've only asked one question. Can you show where Yahweh speaks to J.C., Yeshua, in the New Testament or the so-called Old Testament? Can you show where Yahweh has spoken of J.C. or Yeshua in the Holy Scriptures? Can you show where Yahweh has commissioned and anointed J.C. or the Christ of the New Testament? I would appreciate it if you attempted to answer that question. Hallelujah.
I would say I don't.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Yeshua.
He's talking about Yeshua. I'm talking about the Christ of the New Testament.
We agree with him. However, Yahweh gave salvation. Yahweh gave Yeshua. Period. You know, there's no other name in the heavens. If Yahweh is our salvation, he is our redeemer. But the thing is that the fact of the matter is the fact that when
when we turn to Jeremiah chapter 2, who are we? Are we Israel?
Yes.
We can establish that we're Israel. We can establish that we were kicked out of the land of Israel for idolatry and not obeying the Sabbath. And so if we were born in sin, shaping in sin, and we are Israel today, how can Yahweh redeem his people? When did he redeem his people? In the Torah. When did he redeem his people in the prophets? When did he redeem us back to him? And so when you speak of John, I mean, when you speak of Yeshua, and even Yeshua was more than a prophet, I believe that he is Elohim himself. And so when Yeshua, he honors and he upholds the Torah, because no prophet cannot speak anything against the Torah, or he cannot speak a prophecy without having Torah in it. He would consider himself a false prophet because the Torah is truth, it's righteousness. And so when we turn to John chapter 5, Yeshua always spoke in parables. He said, because those that have eyes, they see not. Those that have ears, they hear not. Lest they hear and turn and be converted. And so when we turn to John chapter 5, verse 30, let's go to 38. Man, let's go to 37. I just can't stop.
John 5, verse 37.
Let's go to 37. Let's go to John. John.
John
37. John 5.
There's two different John.
The Gospel of John.
Gospel.
Yeah, the Gospel. Or Yochanan in Hebrew. Right.
5 verse 37.
We'll go to 36. But I have a greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself which hath sent me hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape. And you have not his word abiding in you, for whom you have sent, him you believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And you will not come to me that you may have eternal life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you that you have not the love of Elohim in you. I am come in the name of my Father, and you receive me not. Yeshua, that's the name of the Father. You shall come in his own name, him you shall receive. How can you believe which hath honor one from another? And seek not the honor that cometh from Elohim. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moshe, in whom you trust. For had you believed Moshe, you would have believed me. Who is Moshe? He's an established, righteous prophet of the Torah. If you have believed Moshe, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? And so, the greatest mystery that everybody is trying to wrap their head around is, who is Yahweh? Who is Yeshua? And so, we can stand up here and say potato, potato. So, let's establish this. When you speak to us, we don't mention JC either. Okay? We say Yeshua, which is a noun, salvation. He is our salvation. He says it. I am Yahweh, your Elohim. I'm the one that brought you out of the land of Mizraim. I own you. He is our salvation. He is our deliverer. However, if we have committed adultery, and I say we because my fathers have committed adultery. If we have committed adultery, how are we saved today? He said he gave us a bill of divorce. How are we redeemed today? How can we even say his name? How can even we walk out Zadikah, righteousness, if we're not redeemed back to the Father? But if we're waiting on this promise of David, is this promise yet here? Are we still yet sinners?
Are we still yet unredeemed? Are we still yet blind to the truth and disconnected from the Father through our transgressions, our iniquities, and our sins? Where is our redeemer? If Yahweh divorced us, he says in the Torah, if I divorce you, there's no bringing you back. A divorcement is a divorcement. And please, by all means, can you look up that scripture for me? Or look up that scripture? About the divorce, the law of the divorce? Huh? Go ahead. I don't mention Yahshua because there's nowhere in the Torah that mentions Yahshua. It's just two conjunctions trying to conform something. You got Shua, which means salvation. That's big evil. You got Yeshua, that means salvation. And then you got Yah, that means the name of Yah. But when you put them together, there's no mean that says Yahshua. When you look at the transliteration of salvation into Hebrew, Yeshua, it's a yud and a shin, not a yud and a hey. Yeshua. Salvation, or you say Yehoshua or Yahshua, which you see in Joshua, and it's a foreshadow of who Yeshua was. Because the Torah brings us to the land, but it don't bring us in the land. Am I saying who is a prophet? I'm saying he's more than a prophet. I'm saying he's Elohim himself. I am saying Moshe himself wrote of Yeshua.
You said he's Elohim.
I am saying he's Elohim. Okay. Yeah, that's exactly what I said. He is Yahweh. And we quote the Shema. Shema Israel, Yahweh Elohanu, Yahweh Akkad. For those that don't know what I said, Hero Israel, Yahweh our Elohim, Yahweh is one. He is one. You can't divide that, and no, you can't cut no pieces of the apart. But the word says in Isaiah that his arm brought salvation. Come on, this is a prophecy. His arm brought salvation. His arm brought salvation. Yes, I believe that. You asking me, do Yahweh believe in the Torah?
No, he ain't.
Yes.
Well, we heard some really interesting things just now. I just want to make sure you said these things. Did you say, I believe, your name is Benyah, correct? Benyah, did you say, I believe he, Yeshua, is Elohim himself? Did you say, Benyah, I believe Yahweh died for our sins? Okay, now, did you also say that the scriptures don't say Yeshua? Don't mention, I thought I just heard you say the Holy Scriptures don't mention Yeshua. Did y'all hear that?
No.
Oh, you didn't say that, man. Okay, no, well, I was writing it down. Well, first off, hold on a second, please, brother, because I'm up here, and when you was up here, I didn't interrupt you. So first, my question still remains the same. Can anybody show where Yahweh spoke of the Christ of the New Testament, the Mashiach of the New Testament, anywhere? Real quick, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get to you also. Let me finish the statement. Oh, you have an answer. Yes. Yes, let's see if that's what Yahweh said. Let's see that. What do you know where that's at? Well, that Yahweh is very specific. Yahweh is very specific. That's what I said. So if we go to the scripture, which you want to quote, do you know what scripture that is? Does anybody know what scripture that is?
Oh, you're talking about in the Matthew something?
Yes. It's in Matthew. Matthew 3rd chapter.
Matthew 3rd chapter.
Yes. All right.
Matthew, the third chapter, and you're thinking about the 16th and 17th verse, and there it says, now we're going to see if this is Yahweh. It says here, and JC, when he was baptized, went up immediately out of the water. And lo, the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, the reason why he said, oh, you're speaking of specifics, because you know it doesn't say the criteria that Yahweh has already laid forth, which he, the rabbi, asked me to produce in Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter, the 15th through the 22nd verse, where Yahweh establishes with his mouth that whoever comes to speak a word in my name will speak what thus saith Yah in the name of the Creator. We don't go off of a voice said, I heard somebody talking to me in the back corner in a dark room. Somebody whispered to me. A lady fell and dropped a tub of oil on my head. We don't go off of that kind of stuff. When we're servants of the Creator, servants of Yahweh, he says, it's what his mouth has established. When I read about David, I said, and the scripture said, Yahweh has spoken it. This is just saying a voice. So this does not prove the point. Yes. My position is that's a lot. Now, the entire New Testament is a lie. That's the truth. But I'll take you real quick, and then I have to move on. Yahweh is the name of the Creator. You might not have been here when we started off, and we started off and we established and said from the book of the Most High that the Creator's name is Yahweh. He is the God or the Elohim of Abraham, the God or the Elohim of Isaac, and the Elohim of Jacob. That is in the book of Exodus, the third chapter in the 14th and 15th verse. Sure can. That's his name? Yes. Exodus, the third chapter, 14th and the 15th verse. States here, and Elohim spoke unto Moses and said, I am that I am. And he said, thus shall you say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. And Elohim said, moreover to Moses, thus shall you say to the children of Israel, Yahweh, the Elohim of your fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Isaac, the Elohim of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name, and this is my memorial to all generations. You can also look in the book of Exodus, the sixth chapter, in the fourth verse. The third verse. Exodus 6, verse 3. It states, and I appeared to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob by the name of El Shaddai, or God Almighty. But by my name Yahweh was I not known to them. So he's letting us know that he revealed his name, Yahweh, to the people. That's Exodus, the sixth chapter, the third verse. He starts the second verse where it says, and Elohim spoke to Moses and said to him, I am Yahweh. And I appear to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob by the name of El Shaddai. But by my name, Yahweh, was I not known to them. You can also go
to the book of Isaiah, the 42nd chapter. Isaiah 42. And it reads in the 8th verse. And whenever you see capital L, capital O, capital R, and capital B in the King James Version or the various versions of your Bibles, it is replacing the name of the Most High, which is Yahweh. And it says in Isaiah 42, verse 8, I am Yahweh. That is my name. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Hallelujah. So those are where we reference, and we have various other places, but those are just some places where we reference the name of the Creator. Now, the brother stated that he believed Yahweh died for our sins. Now, let's go here to the book of Deuteronomy so we can show that this is a complete lie. Because we have to make sure this is...
We're talking about Matthew 3, verse, right?
Well, I already debunked that. We're debunking his statements. That he said that he believed Yahweh died for our sins, and he believed that Yeshua HaMashiach is Elohim himself. We're in Deuteronomy 32, the 38th verse. In the 30, we're going to start in the 36th verse. Deuteronomy 32, starting at verse 36, where this reads, for Yahweh shall judge his people and repent himself of his servants when he sees that their power is gone and there is none shut up or left. And he shall say, where are their deities? Where are their Elohim? The rock in whom they trusted, which did eat the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offerings. Let them rise up and help you and be your protection. See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no Elohim with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. For I lifted up my hand to heaven and say, I live forever. Hallelujah. So you cannot say that Yahweh died for anything. Because Yahweh said that he lives forever. Yahweh said he kills. He don't kill himself. People commit suicide because they don't understand. Yahweh understanding cannot be searched out. Yahweh does not kill himself. Because ultimately, if Yahweh died for our own sins, he would have had killed himself. He would have had caused the person that stabbed his character with a spear on his cross. He would have had did that. Yahweh does not kill himself. Yahweh said he lives forever. This is what Yahweh said. And then in Malachi, you don't have to turn there, but you can. In Malachi, the 3rd chapter, the 6th verse, it says, I am Yahweh. I change not. So he's not going to change as soon as they wrote a book of Matthew and say, now I'm going to die. This is erroneous. This is complete lies that are being taught. The Almighty also said this in Deuteronomy, the 24th chapter, the 16th verse. And then I have one more scripture to go to, and I'll take your response, of course. Deuteronomy 24, verse 16, it states here, fathers shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers, but every man shall be put to death for his own sin. Every man. So you can't now change Yeshua into a man, because if you try to change Yeshua into a man, he can't die for you. You can't change him into the Almighty because the Almighty don't die for anybody. The Almighty don't die for no one. And he's definitely not going to make himself a man and then die for you and break his own law. Yahweh does not do that. You can't prove it. Nobody can show it or will show it. But you can try, and we would like to hear your explanation. And the last scripture I'm going to go to, since the brother stated that Yeshua was Elohim himself, let's see what Yeshua had to say about that. In the book of John, the Gospel, or the Gospel of John, the 20th chapter.
I like that, the Gospel.
I could call it something else, but I'm trying to be cordial.
Right, thank you, I appreciate it.
Gospel of John, 20th chapter. You can read beginning in the 17th verse. It states, Yeshua says to her, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father." Now hold on. Our brother Benyah said that Yeshua is Elohim himself, right? Now, I would like to know, did this man just say, "I have not yet ascended to my Father"? That's what it reads. But go to my brethren and say to them, "I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my Elohim and your Elohim." Now, if Yeshua was Elohim, we got a problem. Because he's going to some other Elohim. Now, I don't know about y'all, but when I have a problem on the phone for customer service, I say, just let me speak to the manager. Just let me speak to the manager. I need to speak to your supervisor. That's how I am. I'm sure a lot of you are like that. So I don't want to speak to the customer service agent of my faith. I want to speak to the supervisor who's going to tell me where salvation is. And if the customer service agent say, "Look, I ain't going up to the top office yet. Speak to your Elohim and my Elohim." And then a man comes out and says, Yeshua is Elohim. We got a problem. Somebody is teaching something wrong. And Yeshua said out of his own mouth that he has an Elohim. Let's give you a second witness in Book of Revelation, the 3rd chapter, the 11th verse. Because we have to have another witness. Revelation, the 3rd chapter, the 11th verse. What does that state? 3 and 11. It says, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which you have, that no man take your crown. Him that overcometh, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. I will write upon him the name of my God." Now, hold on. Didn't he say Yeshua is the name of Yahweh? But right here, Yeshua is saying, "I'm going to make a name on your head, the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name." Well, as Maury Elise used to say, my God. If he is God, then who is his God he's serving? And we, as Christ said in John 4:22, we know what we worship. The salvation is of the true worshipers. Now, I'm going to ask my question again. Can you please prove where Yahweh speaks to Yeshua? He had a comment. He had a comment. Excuse me, I did go into a second scripture. Excuse me. I wanted to establish the second witness. Go ahead, brother.
Yahweh, and that would be perfect. But
Exodus the 3rd chapter, the 14th and 15th verse. Exodus the 6th chapter, the 2nd and 3rd verse. Isaiah the 42nd chapter, the 8th verse.
You did a great job. You did a great job. Considering that, you know, as a Talmudine, I think you did a great job. I mean, we get your point. You did a good job. I'm gonna come back and piggyback off what you said. You said, can anyone tell us where Yahweh spoke of Yeshua in the scriptures? Now, let's just be realistic. I'm just going to be realistic, and we're all mature people. I don't have to yell, not to scream. Just keep it real. I could pose the same question and say, show me anywhere prior to Exodus chapter 6 where Elohim ever mentioned of himself coming as Yahweh. And you won't be able to prove it. And he even said himself, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob did not know this revelation. With that being said, your argument is not even a good argument. You're saying, show us where he gave us a revelation. He even says himself, there's going to be another name, but I can't even tell you what that name's going to be right now. So let's say we go all the way back pre the revelation of Exodus chapter 6. And he said himself, it was not revealed. Let's say we go back there and we lived amongst Israel, and we was living in the land and we just doing our thing, and someone came along and said, Yahweh is going to be your salvation. They said, who the heck is Yahweh? We don't know no Yahweh. We know El Shaddai. And they became stiff-necked, and they became hard-headed. And he said, come on, I'm telling you, Yahweh's going to redeem us. Yahweh is our redeemer. And we were like, no, I don't know no Yahweh. All I know is that El Shaddai, and we got a complete history with El Shaddai. And he shows miracles, and he shows wonders. And then they come to the revelation that, oh, my gosh, Yahweh is our Yeshua. Now, Jeremiah says that there's going to come a time that we're going to be removed from the land of the north. And we're going to make an exodus so great out of this land that the land and the things that they did in Mitzrayim is not even going to be spoken of anymore. They're going to say, oh, my gosh, Exodus might have been great, but this is just blowing my mind. And that is for those who do not believe in Yeshua, because you, too, will say, oh, my gosh, Yeshua is our salvation. Second point. For the mentioning of names, that word there in Exodus chapter, I was writing so many notes, brother. You was just spitting up here, man. You was going. You was like, oh, I'm trying to keep up. I think it's like Exodus 23:13. Is that the name mentioning thing? Not to mention the name of pagan gods. Exodus 23, it says not to mention the name of pagan gods. And that is, it's honorable, the detour from that. But Kanye West, the name of another god. The name of your clothes is the name of another god. Because a god is particularly one who worships it. Some people worship chairs. Your husband. Anything could be another god. And so the name, when he said not to mention the name of another god, what he's saying is not to conjure the name of other gods. I don't go around saying chair, 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 chair. I don't do that. I don't try to conjure the spirit of chairs or the spirit of JC or the spirit of Jesus Christ. I don't do that. So just in a teaching setting, even the prophets mention the names of other gods. In teaching settings, when they're issuing rebukes, they mention the name of other deities. Beelzebub, Aphrodite, Peor, these are names of other deities. And so if these prophets did it, did they break the Torah? Are we in a teaching session? Yes, we're in a teaching session. Are we in a session of rebuke? I think you've been up here rebuking this. And so it's okay. Moving on. Next point that you mentioned. He said in Deuteronomy 24:16 that no man can die for a father and no father die for a son. This is a four command referring to Mishpatim, referring to judgment. Now, when we're talking about judgment, there's a difference between judgment, statutes, and commandments, mitzvot. We got mitzvot, kukim, and mishpatim. You have commandments, statutes, and judgments. The Torah consists of all three. We cannot say if you keep the Torah, you're going to go out there and have to stone your kids, because that would be referring to judgment of the Torah and not referring to the command of the Torah. And so when we're talking about commands of the Torah, it's completely different than the judgments of the Torah. The judgments of the Torah are relative from person to person, depending on man's determination or Elohim's determination. Sometimes he'll tell you, you get a flat tire, and I may get a whole entire transmission of fallout. So judgments are relative. Every judgment does not require death. Now, when we're talking about Yeshua and the price that he paid, we have to look at the commands concerning redemption found in Leviticus chapter 25, the laws of slavery. That's where we go for when we want to look at commands concerning Yeshua and his relationship with Elohim. You also mentioned that he referred to other, my God, and he was, like I said, he was spitting. We believe, like he said in John, I must ascend to my Father, Revelation 3:11, you know, my God is written on his head. We believe in eternal separation. We believe that Elohim, as a almighty Elohim, has the ability to become incarnate. We find that in Genesis chapter 17. And he says to Genesis chapter 18, 17. And he says to Abram, well, should Yahweh the speaker here, he says, should Yahweh not tell you what I'm about to do to Sodom and Gomorrah? Now, whether either Abraham was talking to himself or there was an actual person there. And how do we know there's an actual person there? We know there's an actual person there because he ate meat and cheese with him. And he said, should I not tell you what I'm going to do? And so we know that from the text, in the prophets, in the Torah, according to the Torah, that Elohim, Yahweh, has the potential to become incarnate. Once he becomes incarnate, he has a choice to do what he wants. As he is incarnate, as he became incarnate, Yeshua, incarnate Yeshua, that was his choice. He can do that. We see that he has done that through time, through the Torah. Once he does that, he has a choice to do what he wants. Now, if he chooses to die as incarnate, that's his choice. We believe internal separation. Once he has became incarnate and once he died in that, that is it. He cannot come back into a holy form no more. That's it. Once he has separated from the Father, that's it. He cannot go back. We see this in Ezekiel 44. He sits there on the throne with the mark of the Lamb on him. We see this in Revelation. The mark of the Lamb is still with him. He carries the mark of his piercing. He is eternally separated. Just like when he came down to Abraham as a separate person from Elohim. But yet there was still the power of Elohim still being manifested. See, just because I'm separate doesn't mean that I don't have the power of Elohim. We try to finite Elohim, and we are rebuked constantly in the Torah and in the prophets not to make him like man. We limit him because of our stony hearts because we want to stay in our tradition. And the truth is we have tons of proof. You are all studious. You are all very studious people. You guys know the truth, but our hearts are so stony. And so we have to move past the stony heart and look at the spirit of the Torah. I can show you law all day. I can show you law all day to prove a point. But the spirit of the Torah, that's where it's at.
Thank you.
appearing before Abraham, yes. Genesis chapter 18. 17, that whole chapter is actually a whole transaction between Abraham and Yahweh. No, I said Yahweh appeared with Abraham and two other people. I'm not saying these two other people was Yahweh. I'm saying obviously Yahweh was the one in the transaction, because as we read down in Genesis 18, beginning at 16, as we continue on through this verse, it says, and Yahweh responds.
18:16, and the men rose up from then, and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And Yahweh said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him that he will command.
All right, that's good.
Because God is true. So that's the antithesis of a lie.